As the United States mourns more than 500,000 lives lost to the coronavirus, today the world has crossed an almost unimaginable threshold of 2.5 million deaths. The main vaccine on the front lines of global vaccination efforts is produced by Oxford AstraZeneca. But the vaccine has faced setbacks, supply shortages, and of course, variant strains of the virus. Professor Sarah Gilbert is with the University of Oxford in England, and she led one of the two research teams that developed the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. Professor, yesterday, Ghana was the first country to receive your vaccine free of charge through the UN-backed COVAX plan, which ensures that poorer countries also have access to this life-saving vaccination. What is your plan, Professor, to make sure that this vaccine reaches the most vulnerable throughout the world?
Well, my work on ensuring the vaccine will reach the most vulnerable really started many years ago. This is a technology that I chose to use, having assessed a number of different vaccine technologies over the years. And one of the real benefits of this particular type of vaccine is the fact that it doesn't need frozen storage. It can be stored in a standard refrigerator and shipped using the same delivery systems as many, many other vaccines that are in use around the world today are used. And that's really important if we want to be able to use this vaccine widely. It has to feed into the existing distribution systems.
Well, that is a really important point because, as you say, your vaccine just needs to be refrigerated as opposed to Pfizer and Moderna, which need a really strict and expensive cold storage. And we continue to hear from epidemiologists that if only rich nations get vaccinated, we'll keep seeing these cycles of new variants and reinfections. So how do you go about designing a vaccine that can survive in poorer infrastructure networks?
It means that vaccines can be kept in a fridge and you can take out the number of doses that you need to use, and vaccines can stay in the fridge for up to 6 months. And you have more flexibility in how to use the vaccines. You're not having to thaw a whole box full and then try and use up the whole box before the very short expiry date after vaccines have been thawed.
Well, there have been setbacks at AstraZeneca, as you know. Yesterday, I spoke with our NPR correspondent in Berlin, where many there are asking for the Pfizer vaccine. They don't want the AstraZeneca vaccine. European regulators have given it about a 60% efficacy rate compared to as high as 95% for the Pfizer vaccine. We're seeing the same sorts of things in France and Italy and the UK. How do you respond, Professor, to those who say that the AstraZeneca vaccine is sort of second tier or a second class vaccine?
Well, we have to remember that in clinical trials, when only one vaccine is being assessed, what we're looking for is to see the safety of that vaccine and the efficacy of that vaccine in one particular situation. We can't then use the numbers to compare head to head with other vaccines. What we need for that is the real world effectiveness data that is now starting to come through. And we had some really exciting data come through from Scotland that was released on Monday. In general, the AstraZeneca vaccine was used in older people and the Pfizer vaccine in younger people. But actually, in that first analysis, we are seeing 94% effectiveness of the AstraZeneca vaccine, despite the fact that it's being used in older people. And the criticism from Europe was the lack of efficacy data in older adults. In about a month's time, we should have equivalent data from England coming through as well.
What about, Professor, the issues of efficacy of your vaccine against these new variants, specifically the South African variant of the coronavirus? The South African government, for example, was set to roll out the AstraZeneca vaccine but stopped distribution entirely earlier this month when data emerged that it provided little protection against this new strain. So how are you dealing with that?
I think it's unfortunate that the results have been somewhat misunderstood. What we have there is a relatively small trial. It's 2,000 individuals, so 1,000 had the vaccine and 1,000 had a placebo. And they're a young population. Median age was 31 years. So in that population, none of the people in the control group got a serious illness. And that means that we don't have any information that we can provide about the efficacy of the vaccine in preventing serious illness. That wasn't something that we could read out from our study.
I guess the bigger question, Professor, is it possible to edit your vaccine to adapt to these new variants? And what would that look like? Is that a booster shot, as Pfizer and Moderna are considering, or would you change the vaccine entirely?
It's something that's very easy to do. The reason we all use these platform technologies, as we call them, is that they're plug and play. You just put in the new sequence that you want to use and repeat the vaccine manufacturing. And we actually started doing that in December, started looking at some different sequences to use in the vaccine. And we're considering a number of different options now. So we're preparing for a clinical trial of one of the new variants, the new spike sequence in the vaccine, to be trialled in a few months' time. We don't know that the variants that are now present in South Africa or in Brazil are going to be the variants that actually end up dominating. So we need to be prepared to respond to whatever is out there.
A lot of people in the United States, Professor, are wondering about U.S. approval of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Where do U.S. trials stand now?
Those phase three trials of 40,000 individuals are close to completion now. They were fully recruited in December, I believe. So the late stage follow-up has been going on, and there should be a readout from that trial quite soon.
That was Professor Sarah Gilbert with the University of Oxford. She led one of the two research teams that developed the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. Professor, thank you for your time and for your work.
Thank you.